Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So you're probably wondering what I was doing during the news. I unpacked. Had everything here. Had the time, I unpacked. Just trying to stay efficient here, my man. Just trying to stay efficient.
Yeah, got a little behind schedule.
Oh, yeah. No, we're back on schedule now. As soon as the show's over tonight, I'll really be back on schedule. Because, I was working on the Penn State-Ohio State game this morning during the mechanical delay. And I was able to get what I needed to get done. Okay. So, which is good. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Last night we talked about how Alabama beat Auburn. Auburn been undefeated, ranked number 4, playing great. Alabama waxed them by 21 last night. Georgetown beat Creighton. I mentioned that earlier. Both of those are really good wins, by the way, for Penn State. Now, Penn State has to go out and help itself. Okay, Penn State now needs to go help itself. Well, also last night, South Carolina at home in Columbia beat Kentucky.
Cousinard with one. Pull up three. Good if it goes. He got it! He got it! He got it! Carolina wins! Unreal shot by Jermaine Cousinard!
And it wasn't an impossible shot. Right on the money. All glass window, my friend.
Could you ask for a better second half? Could you ask for a better final 10 seconds?
And maybe South Carolina found themselves a guard that Frank Martin can rely on and lead this team.
26 points for the redshirt freshman, Jermaine Cousinard.
How about that, huh? Great win for South Carolina, Frank Martin's team last night as they beat Kentucky. Beating Kentucky usually seems to bring with it that kind of joy. Have you noticed that? I actually witnessed it in person once. It was Penn State went there, and won in 2000, the 2000-2001 season. Penn State ended up that year getting to the Sweet 16, as did Kentucky. I remember after Penn State won that game, and the Crispins played great in that game. They combined for 57 points. Joe had 31, John at 26. And as the season went, I would say to Dave Baker, I said, check that out. I said, Kentucky just won again. I said, the gift that just keeps on giving. And that's what you look for in the opponents. Like, for example, Syracuse goes and wins at Virginia. Gift that keeps on giving. That's what you're looking for. But you got to help yourself. Penn State's 12-5. They have to go out Saturday. They have to help themselves. Penn State wrestling this week is Rutgers. Rec Hall, 5 o'clock Sunday. It's on ESPN2. But again, it's opposite. Which game is it opposite? I want to say it's opposite the Chiefs-Titans game. That's the first game up, right?
Yes.
And you see Bill Vinovich was named as the referee for the Super Bowl?
Oh, I did not see that. That's actually not surprising.
He graded out the highest. Of course, they do point out that he was the referee in the Saints-Rams game a year ago. Now, he has nothing to do with the call, but he was the referee in that game. Okay. At least he has a consistent record when it comes to actually checking the footballs before the games. All right, so I'm going to hammer that home forever. I'm telling you, it's only my opinion. It's only my opinion. But if I were to guess, I would guess that they did, when the Colts played the Patriots, that they checked a couple. I'm only guessing. They checked a couple and said the whole deal was okay. And then when it wasn't okay, then they went through this year and a half of mumbo jumbo. I don't think it's a theory that's far-fetched. Let's see. Drew Rosenhaus has conditionally terminated his relationship with Antonio Brown. Rosenhaus wrote in the letter that the NFLPA received Thursday that he would like to work with Brown, but not until he first gets help. Additionally, attorney Darren Heitner has removed himself as counsel for Brown in a lawsuit filed in 2018 that alleges Brown caused damages to a rented condominium per an order granting a motion to withdraw filed in Miami-Dade County Court. Brown's obscene outburst toward police earlier this week and the mother of his children, the Hollywood, Florida Police Department announced that its athletic league is severing its ties with the wide receiver and returned a donation from him. Brown posted a live feed of the encounter, which included his children, on Instagram. It was later picked up by TMZ. In it, he can be heard using explicit language and calling the police officers explicit names. The police responded to a domestic disturbance at Brown's Hollywood residence on Monday. Christian Latta wrote in the department statement that Brown used very degrading language in front of his young children. The NFL, by the way, still is continuing its investigation into Antonio Brown after a lawsuit was filed by his former trainer, Brittany Taylor, alleging that she was sexually assaulted by Brown on multiple occasions. Brown was also accused of sexual misconduct at his home by an artist who was working there in 2017. The NFL has not concluded that investigation. Then there's Odell Beckham Jr. New Orleans police issued an arrest warrant for Beckham on a complaint of simple battery. Video surfaced this week showing Beckham slapping the backside of a Superdome security guard in the LSU locker room after the Tigers' national championship win over Clemson Monday. The New Orleans Police Department Public Affairs Office confirmed the security guard filed the complaint. Louisiana statute defines simple battery as battery committed without the consent of the victim. Punishment, by the way, includes a fine of no more than $1,000 and imprisonment of no more than 6 months or both. The Browns said, quote, "We are aware of the incident and have been in touch with Odell and his representatives on the matter. They are cooperating with the proper authorities to address the situation." Beckham was also captured on video passing out money to several LSU players. The university's athletic department issued a statement saying it was aware of the video showing apparent cash being given to players by Beckham and that it has been in contact with the NCAA and the SEC regarding the matter. On Tuesday, they originally said the money handed out in the field was not real. Evidently, like, all the presidents on there were legit. Joe Burrow said, nah, the cash was real. Grant. Now, Franklin wasn't a president, but Franklin's, Grant's, and Jackson. And obviously, Hamilton wasn't a president, but he's a great play. Lincoln, Washington, yeah. Some of the big timers of money. They even have video showing Beckham slapping the backside of the security officer. Whatever happened to winning and hugging each other? Beckham, he's throwing stuff, goes around, officer in front of him, let's see, boom, gives him a slap right in the backside. I don't know what the security officer said to him, but they did talk. Okay. Other than that, it's been a rather benign day. Carlos Beltran is out, and it appears one of the top candidates for the Mets managerial job is our own Chris Elia. I can hear him now. I couldn't do any worse. I can hear him now. I couldn't do any worse.
This is true.
And you know he'd say it.
No doubt about that.
All right, so now let's get to more on the Astros. Okay, this is under the category of rumors, and this is on NJ.com. That Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman wore devices that buzzed as part of the sign stealing scandal. Okay. A day after breaking the news her uncle was stepping down as the Mets manager, a Twitter account which claims to belong to Carlos Beltran's niece, throwing the Astros under the bus. The account, which ESPN's Marley Rivera reports does not belong to a member of Beltran's family, tweeted that second baseman Jose Altuve and third baseman Alex Bregman wore devices that buzzed on the inside of their right shoulder from the hallway video guy. The content creator who attended the winter meetings and has gained notoriety in baseball circles for his viral Twitter videos claims, match it up with what I've been told about five different parties. Five different people within baseball, not connected to each other at all, have all told me the buzzers are very real with the same details. The tweets came shortly after Beltran stepped down as the manager of the Mets. Trevor Bauer added, he's now the pitcher for the Reds, I've heard this from multiple parties too, for what it's worth. There is some video footage that could potentially corroborate the claims. When Altuve hit the series-clinching home run in Game 6 of the 2019 ALCS over the Yankees, he held his jersey together tight to keep his teammates from ripping it off. Altuve told Fox Sports' Ken Rosenthal in his post-game interview, I'm just too shy. Last time I did it, I got in trouble with my wife. If proven true, and it's only an if proven true, it would be another debacle and one of the biggest scandals in baseball history. Already, A.J. Hinch, Jeff Lunau, Alex Cora, and Carlos Beltran have lost their jobs. The Twitter account, which claims to belong to Beltran's niece, has some credibility built up. Along with tweeting out that Beltran was stepping down from his position with the Mets, which was done before the news broke, the account also tweeted out that Beltran was going to be the Mets manager 4 days prior to the official announcement. So it's not like this Twitter account has not been in play and has been right.
Well, that actually makes sense now, because reports came out after they said that Beltran was done with the Mets, that he did fight for his job when he talked to Mets upper echelon, and then before they decided to eventually agree to part ways.
Yeah. Interesting. And I mean, to me, here's one of the issues. Like, let's just take this. That, for example, the Mets have in this about, I mean, something that For example, let's take ESPN has put a lot into Alex Rodriguez and Jesse Mendoza as analysts, correct? Well, as far as I'm concerned, because they're linked directly with organizations, Mendoza with the Mets, and I believe A-Rod is still on the payroll with the Yankees, correct?
That's correct, as a special advisor.
Special advisor. Okay, to me, that knocks you out. You're not independent. It's not like sitting here talking to Tim Kirkjian, and Kirkjian's completely independent. They aren't. So to me, that knocks them out from even commenting on it. All right, we'll take a break. See if we can reach Chris Elio here, because, I mean, because if it's true that Elio's going to take the job, I think we should be the first to know, don't you think?
We absolutely should.
Because I know he wants the job. And I would say this, Elio would bring a real edge in the press conferences.
Oh, definitely. I could see some of those headlines now in the back of the New York Post.
Oof. He would create a stir. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, great to have you with us. So, Carlos Beltran out. We think our Chris Elio is a prime candidate. I know he did ask to see if he could talk to the Mets GM, but we think maybe it's on a different matter. We also think he wants to be the Jets head coach. Now, the question would be, could he do both jobs? I don't know what you think, Matt. I think, you know, Elio thinks he can do both jobs. He just needs somebody, like, for example, the Mets, because of his managerial problems. The Mets would be out of it. Then he could coach the Jets, and then he could knock them out of it. What do you think?
I could see that. That sounds about accurate.
Now, in no uncertain terms, it should be pointed out that, I mean, that Elio really believes he can do both jobs.
No doubt.
Bunt! Yeah, no sign stealing here. We just tell you straight out, bunt!
And he would do that.
Are you some sort of idiot and you can't put a bunt down? I mean, a 5-year-old could throw you out. That's our guy. Oh, that is our guy. Oh, boy. But Beltran's out. And again, the Major League Baseball has worked hard, I think, on promoting as much diversity in management as possible. You know, Dave Roberts has had a great run with the Dodgers. Cora, of course, won a World Series with the Red Sox. Beltran was considered to be a rising star that people were anxious to see as a manager. Now you get both Cora and Beltran out.
I still would like to see the MLB hand out its own penalty on Beltran. And I was able to see what happens with Cora, too.
Well, Cora, they don't want to do anything until the Red Sox part of the investigation is over with.
Right. Yeah,
Why bother doing something now when there's another investigation? And I was in complete agreement with Tim Kirkchin yesterday that the number one guy in Boston should be Jason Veritek. How about the last night? They raised $6,700 last night in Williams Sport with Tim there.
Yes, they did.
Our old friend Sean Carey texted that to us.
Mm-hmm.
Also said he missed you very much.
Yes, we miss him here.
Didn't mention anybody else.
Now, that was all well done by the cross cutters, and then what the Spikes did today on Facebook. I heard a lot of good reviews about what they did today.
No, and this is what has to be done. Major League Baseball has complained that some of this is being... You're negotiating in the public. Excuse me, people are not in the mood to get into the fetal position and go quietly into the night. I'm sorry. All right? Tell Big Brother that, guess what? The little guy wants to fight. It's the only way the little guy's going to survive is to fight. Being in the fetal position going quietly into the night means you go quietly into the night.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here's the bottom line. The Spikes today, State College did, kicked into high gear the Save Our Spikes campaign when it comes to minor league baseball. And, of course, you're going to expect somebody like me to be very, very passionate about this. Because I've been associated with the club since day one. This is the 15th season of the Spikes. This will be my 15th season on the broadcast team. Minor league baseball is such an important part of the fabric of a community in the summertime. You know, in Williamsport, as much as the Little League World Series is loved, and it is deservedly loved, and the great work they do in South Williamsport, and the huge crowds that they draw, the Cutters are there every single day during the course of the summer, and they have done a remarkable job over the years in that ballpark. They have transformed that park. Now, putting the deck in down the right field line, they wanted it to be an important gathering space for their fans. And it is, and every time I'm there, that deck is filled up. People are enjoying it. Obviously, the association with Major League Baseball, and this year it's going to be the Orioles and the Red Sox playing in August at Bowman Field. The dugouts are now to Major League standard. The field is absolutely to Major League standard because Major League Baseball put that field in. They got the bullpens out of the outfield, or the out of foul territory and put them behind the fence. I mean, there's a lot of things that they've done there that have been terrific. And then there's State College. State College raised that ballpark and the Spikes are part of so many fundraisers that take place over and over again. Another fundraiser where that ballpark is part of the centerpiece of it. I don't care whether it's Coaches versus Cancer, Alzheimer's Walks, whatever it may be, over and over. I mean, they have raised, or at least have helped be a part of raising, hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity. As a club, isn't that what a good community steward is supposed to do, to be a focal point, to help in the raising of money to help others? And that's what they do. So, they're encouraging people to write their elected officials, to purchase 2020 tickets. That's big. Be an official sponsor. You know, save our spike signage and so forth. But they, you know, and this goes for the Cutters too. I don't want this just to be a State College thing. This is a very important thing when it comes to the Cutters. And because the Cutters are an important part of Lycoming County and of the Williamsport community. Very important part. And Gabe and his crew do an awesome job up there. They do an awesome job up there. And this is the 15th season the Spikes have been here. Williamsport has kept that franchise alive for decades. You know, different levels, but finally in short season. And some have talked about the expense of minor league baseball. You know, you can be penny wise and pound foolish here. Baseball on the minor league level grows the game at the roots. I talked about my grandchildren, my oldest two grandchildren. Yeah, I still, the four youngest ones are 4, 3, 1, and nearly 2 months. Okay, in fact, I should say that actually she's actually nearly 3 months old now. So those four would not count in what I'm about to talk. They're too young. But not the 11-year-old and the 8-year-old. And guess what? They love going to Spikes games because it gets them into baseball. Parents can afford to take them because they're not paying an arm and a leg to park. They're not paying an arm and a leg for tickets. Everything's reasonable to get the family out there together. And yes, they take the 4-year-old with them. He's just not quite into it the way, I mean, the 8-year-old, Colin, he watches the game. Lauren, the 11-year-old, watches the game. And they're into all the on-field stuff that goes on and all the fun and frivolity that goes on with it. They're into it. To the point where now we talked about, okay, let's go to a major league game maybe this summer. Well, the reason they want to go is because they went to the minor league game. And all this mumbo-jumbo about, you know, about developing talent. The Spikes are averaging, so I can't speak to what Williamsport. I'm sure the Williamsport numbers are just as impressive, but I can't speak to them specifically because Williamsport obviously have Reese Hoskins and Cesar Hernandez and Michael Franco, and you know you can keep going. The Spikes are averaging 4 major leaguers per season. They're averaging a little bit better than 4 major leaguers per season. Obviously, these guys have to start somewhere. Brock Holt had to start somewhere. It was here. Tony Watson had to start somewhere. It was here. And in a world of analytics where there's more and more emphasis on younger players, who, by the way, probably only get the one contract, not two, where do you get those younger players? How do you develop them? Just throw them in there and play? That's why a lot of this makes no sense to me. The Athletic did a great piece on Bluefield, West Virginia. And that the facility in Bluefield, even though they put $2 million into it, probably is not up to the major league standard that MLB has discussed. But they still put $2 million into it, and it still means a lot to them as a town to somehow keep this. And Bluefield, with the Pioneer League, is on the chopping block. Old friend of mine, Chris Phillips, I saw his dad, Sam. Sam's the president, by the way, of Gardner's Candies. figured I'd appeal to Matt on this one. I saw Sam the other day, and he says, oh, man, he says, Chris is out there fighting for it. I said, what are you talking about? Because I thought Colorado Springs was AAA. He said, no, they just moved the short season. He said, they're in the Pioneer League, and they're in the chopping block. I said, what? You're kidding me. All these places are fighting to keep their franchises. And you got to fight. Because if you don't fight, they'll just do what they want. As I said before the bottom of the hour, Major League Baseball and their negotiators have complained that Minor League Baseball is now negotiating in public. Excuse me, okay? You're the big guys with the $9 to $10 billion. Okay. What did you expect? That the little guy was going to go quietly into the night? Now, maybe that's the way you prefer it, but that's how the little guy gets crushed, by going quietly into the night. Well, these towns are not going to go quietly into the night, and they're part of the backbone. And Major League Baseball has massive, as we have documented all week, now has massive public relations problems. Massive. Do they need to add to the massive public relations problems by drawing a line in the sand here? Do they need a replay booth to send them video of the problem? Oh, wait. That's already one of the problems they have. Right now, Major League Baseball has a gigantic problem. And not because of this with Minor League Baseball. The gigantic problem they have is pure and simple. What, you know, the problem they have is what has happened all week long and has just dominated the headlines. Well, as far as I'm concerned, they need to eliminate the problem and get some goodwill out there, because right now they don't have any goodwill. I mean, that's what they got right now. They need to find some goodwill somewhere. And if they draw a line in the sand in the minor league thing, which is hurting small towns, where you're trying to, oh, by the way, you're trying to grow the game. I mean, the problem, one of the problems baseball has is that the average age of the person watching on TV, I believe, is now 52 or 53. Well, that's not... Don't you want my 8-year-old grandson and my 11-year-old granddaughter to say, hey, I want to go to a ball game? And maybe when they're 23 and 25 respectively, they go to another game and another game and another game, where they become that part of that younger generation that's going to games. I think what's happened this week is one of those where it is nightmarish for Major League Baseball. It makes Major League Baseball again look bad. The next thing that is going to be something that should be celebrated, but it could in the end make Major League Baseball look bad, is the Hall of Fame vote next week, where once again the topic of steroids with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and others, Sammy Sosa, will be discussed again. Whether they get enough votes to get in, or even if they come up short, it'll still be discussed, coupled with the sign-stealing allegations. Oh, and by the way, it's not over yet. They haven't released the Red Sox investigation yet. Major League Baseball is operating from a position of strength financially in all of this, but they are not operating from a position of strength when it comes to publicity. Right now, baseball is getting crushed in terms of publicity. They will also have to absorb some questions next week about the Hall of Fame vote. Even if players don't get in, it'll be discussed the reasons that, or the opinions as to why they didn't get in. Or if they do get in, then they'll have to discuss the reasons that they got in, and here are some of the issues. That's not going to make baseball look good either. Then the Red Sox thing comes out, they're not going to look good on that either. They need something to make themselves look good. I strongly recommend that the thing that makes you look good is get into an agreement with the minor leagues, keep everybody, and move forward. And suddenly, now you've done something that's made people happy instead of drawing a line in the sand. Because I don't think this is the time to draw a line in the sand for Major League Baseball. All right. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKF. I know at the holiday party, I guess several people went to hug the suit. And he said, no. He was wearing a buzzer. And somebody said, why are you wearing a buzzer? Because management was trying to make sure he was at work. I mean, I don't know what that meant.
I kind of wonder that now about Mark Lawrence, because he never hugs anybody.
It's a different story. Oh, God. Hey, at least we have fun here. Yeah. Well, it's great to have you with us. I mentioned earlier about basketball. We talked about, you know, they've got to do a better job on the weak side rebounding. They've got to do a better job with guard rebounding. And, you know, obviously, you know, you can't play hero ball. You can't do the isolation stuff. I mean, in selective situations you can, but, you know, I realize part of that is that you're trying to get things going for your team. I got that. And this is when you've got a big horse, and Penn State has that in Lamar Stevens. The five critical possessions in a row where they did not score is that they never once got the ball to him. That doesn't mean he's going to make the shot. Doesn't mean he's the, you know, but he is your guy. So at some point, your guy has to touch it, because even if he doesn't score, he may tilt the defense to him in such a way where he can then find somebody else who will score. They didn't do that, so they've got to remember to keep that in mind. Don't lose your poise. The offensive rebounding part is for opposing teams has been, I mean, again, it's weak side stuff. Strong side, they've got pretty well covered, but they're giving up too much on the weak side. Far too much. And don't yap with people. The only one that should be out there yapping when it comes to is actually Dick and me. We're the only two. We're allowed to. We're contractually obligated to yap. But that's to all of you who are yapping. We're not, you know, not to other players or officials or anything like that. And this is the oddity is that last night there was it's bad they lost. No question. Then Alabama beats Auburn. Then Georgetown beats Creighton. So Penn State gets outside help. Well, that's my point. Now you've got a big game coming up here Saturday at noon. Penn State now, after getting help from outside entities, has to go back to work and get back to helping itself. Penn State beat Georgetown because it went out and helped itself. Penn State beat Alabama because it went out and helped itself. And now, in turn, Alabama's beat Auburn, Georgetown's beat Creighton, which helps Penn State, but now Penn State has to continue to be helping itself. If they were to win on Saturday with Ohio State, that means, in my book, they're only one game back of where they should be in this thing in terms of the ability to protect home floor and then steal one on the road. So that will be a big one coming up on Saturday. I don't know what Ohio State's going to do with Dwayne Washington and Luther Muhammad. Both were, I guess, suspended for the Nebraska game, so neither played a minute, and they beat Nebraska with relative ease. I don't know if they're going to be back, and if they are back, my guess would be, and it's only a pure guess, because obviously I've only talked to Chris Holtmann a couple of times in my life, so I don't know. If I were to guess, he'd bring him off the bench. And Ohio State is one of those teams that really does rely on its shooting to win games. They're undefeated when they've shot 50% or better, but they're a 500 team when they've shot under 50%. So that is a big part of the game on Saturday at noon. Wetzel's going to the game, so it must be a big one. And then when Luke gets old enough, we'll get Luke to a game.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, you'd have to bring Lisa, too. I mean, it's not gonna...
Oh, of course. She'll go.
Oh, no. Yeah, because she does all the work. I mean, it's like... does all the work. All right. Tomorrow, the King is on. The standings are... we'll talk about the standings tomorrow. I think maybe for once I'm in good shape.
That is correct.
For once. Well, we have a couple picks this weekend. The AFC-NFC Championship games. AFC goes first. It's Tennessee and Kansas City. And then it's the Niners and the Packers. Well, it sure is a discrepancy in the forecast for Saturday between the Weather Channel and AccuWeather. I'm just going to wake up and look outside. What do you think?
Same here.
I woke up this morning in Minneapolis. It was 10 below zero.